Let's please bow our heads in prayer. We'll ask the Lord to help us now. Our loving Father, we lift our hearts and our voices in prayer and thanksgiving for the life of our dear departed brother. Father, these are very difficult times that we're under, and with all of these restrictions, we just pray, Lord, that there would be great grace given to everyone today under these very hard circumstances. Lord, we are thankful for the brightness of this day and morning. Thankful, O God, for the joy that we have in our hearts if Christ is abiding within. And I ask, Lord, as we have this opportunity, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be magnified. Lord, as you were in the life of our dear brother. But now, Father, we rejoice that he is absent from his body and he is present with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ah, Father, what a blessing this is for us now. I ask that as we read the scriptures and think again of the tremendous promises that we have in the Word, that the scriptures will bring comfort and peace to every heart. Lord, hear our prayer today. Be very, very near to each one who is overcome with sadness, and just bring that comfort and stillness, Lord, to every heart. Bless from the very youngest to the oldest one here. And Father, we ask that our Lord Jesus would be glorified in our worship. Hear our prayers now. We're thankful for the brightness of this day, for the sunshine that breaks through the trees. Let our joy be as the Son of Righteousness who has arisen with healing. Lord, bless us now today. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, I have stood around too many open graves. And today is a very special one in many ways, because the Lord has granted to us the sun shining. And it is pleasant to our temperature and to our feeling. But today, of course, is mixed with that great sadness, because we have to say goodbye to someone who has been very dear to us in a number of ways. And I believe that Sam touched the hearts and lives of everyone here in a unique way. And if this was back home in Northern Ireland, well, as already we're talking today, there would have been thousands at a funeral of this nature, because many knew Sam from years ago in many different areas of his operation. But today, the family and those of you gathered here, well, he holds a special place in your heart. And I can say that myself as a pastor. I have fond memories and great love for a departed brother. And of course, it wasn't that long ago when we were gathered in the same place to say farewell to his dear wife, whom he has now been reunited with in glory. Praise God. It's such a great blessing to think on these things. Back around the time of the book of Genesis, a man called Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the latter day he shall stand upon the earth." And you think about a man like Job living that many years ago, how could he have known? The only way he could have known that Christ would one day stand upon the earth, and one day he would see and be with his glorified Redeemer was by faith in the revelation of God's truth to his heart. That man knew that Jesus Christ lived. And today, we have the same words virtually that were echoed by Christ himself when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Friends, this is the hope for humanity. If you have Christ in your heart today, then that hope you possess. If you do not have the Lord in your heart, then you cannot say, I have that possession. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. What a great hope. That's the only hope, my friend, for humanity. Humanity is reeling up and down, back and forth with so many problems. And people in this world have no hope. But there is hope in the fact that Christ is alive today. And you know, he has promised that when he comes back to this world the second time, all who are in him will rise to be in glory with him forever and ever. We look forward to the hope of the resurrection of the body from the grave. And I have been at this cemetery many times to bury people that are connected with our fellowship. And there will be a great rising from the dead. Do you believe that today, friend? The Word of God states it. Absolutely. There is great hope. The Apostle Paul said, when he was coming near the end of his life, he said, I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. And this is exactly the same as what our dear brother departed now can also say. He had finished his course. His time on earth was done. And God called him home to be with him. And each one of us have an appointed day of our birth. And we have by God's sovereign purpose an appointed day of our death. And the book of Hebrews tells us, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. Well, these are the words of God, not mine. The question comes for us all, as we stand around this open grave today. You know something? There is a message that this is able to preach that's more than any preacher can preach. Because what's happening here is where every one of us standing today will one day be. And maybe not too long. We don't know. We don't know when our time will come. But the most important thing for every one of us to consider is, where will you be in eternity? The great hope that we have in the gospel is the hope that we shall live again. And these are the precious words of Scripture. Yes, Paul could say, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, and there is henceforth laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Friend, this is the hope that we have in the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We have the blessed hope of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, the word of God says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's coming a day when God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Quite honestly, this world is a valley of tears. And today is an example where you've known life, you've known one who has been full of vigor and strength and able to do so much. And now in the latter days, weakness comes on the body, age and infirmity, and eventually death. But you know, inside this coffin today is only the frame. The spirit is no longer here. The spirit of our brother has gone to be with his Lord. That's the hope of the believer in Christ. And there's coming a day when God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, and there will be neither sorrow nor crying nor any more pain, because the former things, they have all passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true, they are faithful." Friends, today, the only hope that we have in this world is the hope that God gives us in his word. And I wonder if you possess the hope of Christ in your heart today. It has pleased the Lord by his sovereign purpose to take unto himself the spirit of our dear departed loved one. And now, today, well, we commit his body to the ground. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, until that great resurrection morning when the dead in Christ shall rise. And those who know him will be with him forever and forever. Ah, dear friends, today this is the great hope of the gospel of Christ. And this is the joy that we have. Sadness, yes, because we've lost someone that we love. And with death there is a finality, there is a parting, we know that. Let us today lift up our hearts with thanksgiving and praise to God, and be sure that we know that we are ready to be with our Lord. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, again we lift our praise and our worship and our thanksgiving for the blessing of having known our dear brother Sam. And Lord, I pray that you would draw near to every family member and comfort them and bless them. I pray, Lord, that in place of tears and sadness there would be joy and thanksgiving and victory. Lord, I pray that the testimony that this man left in his life to his family and to his friends and to his co-workers, that, Lord, you would yet bring home a great harvest because of that witness. Hear our prayer today. Be with every single family member and friend today. And we think not only of those listening and who will listen to this recorded message afterward, and that also in the church today, that there will be a note of thanksgiving and praise. Father, we pray that the gospel will do its lasting work. Hear us now, receive our thanksgiving. We pray these things in Christ Jesus, precious and holy name.
want to welcome you today to this memorial service for Mr. Samuel McAnally. On behalf of the family, want to thank you all for, I was going to say, coming to congregation. We're so limited with the number we can have here, but certainly to welcome the folks who are able to view our service online today. We had, really as special as it could have been, the time around the grave this morning in the interment, and the Lord blessed with a very beautiful day, and the sun was breaking through the trees, and it was a special time and a tribute to our dear departed brother. So we certainly want to pray that God would bless today our service, memorial service, and He will be glorified in our gathering, and that there will be comfort from the word of the Lord to every single heart. Let's begin our service. Take your bulletin, please, and turn to the opening hymn, Heaven Came Down. And I would encourage you to stand as we worship the Lord. Please be seated. Listen to the word of the Lord. In the hand of God is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, and a time to mourn. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And this verse we thought about not too long ago on the grave side, the words of Christ from John 11:25. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." May God bless His own precious, infallible, inspired, and inerrant word to our hearts today. Please join me in a word of prayer. Our loving Father, it is with great thankfulness that we gather today for this special memorial service, to reflect, to think back, to give praise and thanksgiving for the life of our dear brother who touched so many of us in a very humble, direct, and practical way. How loving and caring, generous the memories we have of our dear friend. And Lord, today as we are gathered for this purpose, we do give thanks for the time around the grave this morning already. The Word of God, the special opportunity we have. And yes, Lord, mixed with great sorrow and sadness, there is yet the tremendous hope, Father, that we have because Christ Jesus is alive today. And He lives in the power of an endless life. And Lord, we stop, we pause, we take time now, a few moments to reflect, to think, to give praise for this life and for Christ Jesus, His great Redeemer. Lord, as we thought of the words of Job, who said, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that He shall stand in the latter days upon the earth." Lord, the faith that You gave Job is the same faith, Father, that You gave to our brother Sam. The same faith that we have been possessed with because we believe that Christ is alive today. We know that salvation is not by our good works or our good upbringing or our good anything. Lord, we know that we are saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so our Father, we ask today that we'll be very, very conscious of the nearness of the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, the one who comes alongside us. And Father, I today commend these dear loved ones to you and pray that the peace of God and the joy of the Lord and the salvation that is so full and free, spoken of in the Word, given to us through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, would be realized, would be received and known in every heart. And so, Father, hear our prayer today. Bless us now. Bless everyone who will take part. Be with from the very youngest one today. Sad, the departure of a grandfather. The children, sad for the loss of a father. And Lord, for those family members near and far, just pour out your grace today, we pray, and bless each one, for we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's continue, please, in our worship today as we sing the next hymn on your sheet, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Properly speak of the depth of the love of God to us, the love that we have experienced through our Lord Jesus Christ. He loved us with an everlasting love, a love that we could never match, could never come up to, certainly never warrant, but it is by the grace and mercy and kindness of our Lord that has showered us with his great love. We are thankful for that love today. An opportunity now to have some reflections from the family, and as they come one after another, just to share and to speak of the memories that they have of their dear departed loved one.
Funny, humorous, kind, thoughtful, humble, loving, the best of men, a true gentleman, an encourager, a blessing to others, a praying man, steadfast, faithful. These are just some of the words and expressions that you, our dear friends, have used to describe our grandfather in your emails, text messages, and phone calls that we as a family have received. And I can honestly say amen to that narrative. Our grandfather, as you all have described, was not just that in public, but in private as well. There was no play acting, no pretending. What you saw him in the good times is what he was in the most difficult and trying times of life. A praying man, one who spoke to his Heavenly Father as you would talk to your best friend who was right there in the room with you. A rejoicing man, always enjoyed the worship service at church or singing along to a CD in the car or a DVD at home. The evidence of a man who loved his Savior was clearly seen. When Grandpa's health permitted, he was always found at every church service, prayer meeting, and school function. And if there was a drop of tea, a sandwich, and something sweet to eat afterwards, well, that just added to the blessing. He loved being around the people of God and singing the hymns of Zion. He loved the preaching of the word. Every week he received spiritual sustenance, and it was essential to him. Whenever the dining room at table at home wasn't set for a meal, you'd often see Granda's Bible sitting there open, evidence that it had been used and ready to be used again. Granda was also very fond of physical sustenance. He would often refer to Matthew chapter 24, where it says that no man knows the hour or the day when the Lord will return and to be ready. Well, he said he always wanted to be ready with a full belly. My grandfather was a great lover of horses. He and his brother Willie trained many of them for pleasure driving for themselves and for others. The McAnally brothers were well known as they won many competitions across Northern Ireland and the UK. They knew all the tricks of the trade. That's because they invented them. Granda always had a story to tell of him and Uncle Willie, of their experiences in their business together delivering coal, or their adventures in the horse ring, either competing or judging. Not long after my grandparents moved to Canada, Granda and I would go on Saturday drives to attend horse shows. He drove and I navigated with the map, no GPS or Google Maps back then. As time went on, I drove home while he slept. I can neither confirm nor deny whether or not I had a driver's license at the time. I was always eager to drive his van, and he usually gave in to my obsession. No one knows the extent of the mischief that we got up to on our days out, but thank God his guardian angels were there working overtime looking after us. Sometimes we would just pull over to a random farm and look at the horses in the field, and it wouldn't be long before the farmer would come out and invite us in for a drop of tea. And we always would leave there with an invitation to come back again anytime. Granda was a loving husband to his dear Maudie, our late nanny. They always joked with each other, but you could see the love that they had for one another, which was based on their love for Christ, their Savior. They would have celebrated 69 years of marriage this September. But the Lord, in his sovereign plan, called them both home. Sam McAnally has touched the lives of our family members and friends, for he treated us all the same, made no difference. We will miss his warm welcomes, his manly handshakes, his gentle spirit, his infectious laugh, and his godly influence. He was faithful to the end. Thank you.
First of all, I want to thank David and Lorraine and Rebecca for looking after Granda so lovingly over these past few months. In this COVID world, I don't know what we'd have done without you, so thank you. So how did we describe our daddy and Granda? Kerry said he was one of the most kindest, most loving, hardworking, endearing, and funniest person she knew. A great storyteller with an infectious belly laugh and her first love. Sammy said, your mom and dad are the reason why our kids turned out to be so kind and respectful. They couldn't have had better grandparents. They were just one of a kind and left us a family to be proud of. I'm so glad Dad and I went home to Ireland a couple of years ago. He had a brilliant time enjoying our extended family and friends. He was so excited to see my Uncle Willie. And he was there to hold my Aunt Margaret's hand while she passed. He was a man of God. He loved the Lord, his faith, his church, and the many friends he met along the way. Finally, I remember being a little girl and being afraid of some situation, and my dad grabbed my hand and said, don't you worry, I won't let anything happen to you. He was always my protector. So how do I describe my dad and Granda? He was the greatest man that ever lived. I love you forever, Daddy. Rest well.
It's hard to put into words how much our Granda means to us. He has been such an integral part of our lives from the beginning and is a part of every memory that we have. He was our grandfather, but he was also our confidant, our babysitter, our taxi driver, our advice giver, our encourager, our support, and our dearest friend. He never failed to tell us that he loved us, and we felt that love every single day. To Granda, family meant everything. He always wanted his family around him, and if any one of us was by his side, he would say that he was happy as a bird. Growing up, we were blessed to have our grandparents living close by, so they were part of our everyday lives. They attended every concert, recital, school play, and birthday party, and we shared countless Sunday dinners together over the years. Nanny and Granda were the glue that brought the family together.
When we think of Granda, some words that come to mind are gentle, patient, loving, generous, and joyful. Granda always greeted people with a smile and a cheery hello. He had a great sense of humor, and between the grandkids and Granda, there were always lots of jokes and teasing. He would say, if it ain't fight with you or tease you, you would think I'd fall in it with you. He always wanted to be involved in everything we did and wanted to be updated on what was going on in our lives. He always told us how proud he was of us and how he loved to see us doing well. Some of our fondest memories with Granda are the car rides to school growing up, going out for breakfast together, spending time sitting talking over a cup of tea, and attending horse shows at the Royal Winter Fair. Like our nanny, Granda was always well-dressed, looking dapper wherever he went. He loved to be outside and going for walks and picnics together. When he would admire the flowers or the sky, he would say, "Isn't that beautiful? That's all God's handiwork."
Granda's love for horses started very young and continued all the way through his life. He participated in many horse shows back home in Northern Ireland and in Wales with his brother Willie, and they won many ribbons along the way. Granda kept a few horses in our barn at home in Uxbridge, and over the years, he taught us how to look after them and how to love them too, taking us on rides and bringing us with him to horse auctions and shows. In the last few years, when he wasn't able to get out to see any horses in person, he always enjoyed just sitting watching any horse shows we could find on TV, and he would regularly choose the winner at the start of the competition.
Some of the things we'll miss the most are his bear hugs, holding his hand, listening to his stories from the old days, and hearing him say, "Give us a hug, give us a kiss." Alana and Liam heard that many times. He loved all of us kids, big and small. You were never too big to sit on his knee. One kiss and hug were never enough. If you told him you already gave him one, he would say, "I don't care, I want another one." He was my birthday buddy, and with his being the day after mine, I will dearly miss celebrating our birthdays together. The most important thing we will remember about Granda is his love for God and love for others. At an early age, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he lived his life unashamedly for Christ. One verse that characterizes his life is Micah 6, verse 8, that says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God."
Granda was a man who lived a simple and humble life and showed his love for God in the way that he interacted with other people. He made others feel special and welcome with his kind words and warm handshake. He loved to be in church with his brothers and sisters in Christ here at Toronto Free Presbyterian Church and rarely missed a service. He loved to be at the prayer meeting. And one thing we will always remember is how he prayed. He spoke simply and genuinely to his Heavenly Father as if speaking to a dear friend. He thanked the Lord regularly for blessings big and small, and his reverence for the things of God was evident. He loved to sing the hymns, and when he wasn't singing them, he was whistling the tune. Granda was a hard worker, and he gave his best effort to everything he did, doing any job with a smile on his face and a song on his lips. Granda was also a huge supporter of our Whitfield Christian School, where he served as custodian for many years. There, he was an encourager who touched the lives of many students and teachers alike. In this last year, the Lord gave us many sweet times with Granda, even though he wasn't always feeling well, and we were not able to get out and do the things that we love to do together. Throughout the months of cancer treatment, he never complained or grumbled. While I sat with him in the cancer center, I could see that the peace of God had filled his heart and mind, and that he was resting in the Lord's will for him.
We are very thankful that in the midst of a global pandemic, the Lord allowed Granda to stay in his home so that we could see him and spend time making memories that we will always cherish. Even in the last few weeks of his life, Granda repeatedly told us that he loved us. He would say, "I've loved you from the day you were born, and I still love you."
Though our hearts sorrow deeply that our Granda is no longer here with us, we have peace knowing that he's not just in a better place, but that after 76 years of knowing and loving the Lord Jesus here on earth. He is at last united with his Savior, face to face in heaven, and reunited with our nanny and other loved ones who have gone before him, and that one day we will see him again.
Thank you, folks, for those very touching reflections and reminders. They are so special. A time like this and meetings of this nature, they don't happen often. And yet when they do, they are so precious and important to remember. Thankful for the people who are online and watching the service online. If you're a family member, relative, connected, we just want to let you know that you're very welcome, and we're sorry that you could not be here in the service. If it had been apart from these COVID days, this church would have been full of people wanting to just share in this very, very special time. Dr. Frank McClellan was the pastor. He's pastor emeritus in our congregation still, and he was Sam's pastor for many, many years. And it's a fitting thing that he is going to be coming to share a tribute himself now. Dr. McClellan, please come. And as when he is finished, we have a mother and daughter, Dana and Sam. Mother and son. Sorry about that. Don't hold that against me. They're going to have a duet of music. We're going to enjoy that afterward. They're going to be playing the song on your bulletin, "Whatever My God Ordains Is Right."
I first became aware of the McAnally family when I was just a boy of 12, and that's a few years ago, 73, I think. And my father had a little greengrocer's shop in Apsley Street in Belfast, and that was just beside where the McAnallys lived. They lived in, I think it was Bankmore Street there, and when I would visit the store, my father's store, I would often see the little horse-drawn cart driven by a young man carrying goods around the local area with the name McAnally on the back of it. And so that was my first introduction to them. Sam would have been about 15 at the time, as I was 12, and I remember that vividly. He and his brother Willie, as you've heard already, that they were men who loved horses, and both of them in time became expert horsemen. And when I say horsemen and expert, I mean that because they were very highly esteemed in Northern Ireland for their skill with horses, and you could spend a lot of time talking about the wonderful things that they could do and what Sam could do with a horse that wouldn't behave itself. Sam was pretty good. And they both loved horses, and they became expert horsemen. Eventually, they had to change the horse-drawn vehicle, and they bought a lorry, or a truck as it's called over here, and they took stuff, all kinds of goods, all over Northern Ireland and also into the south of Ireland, and especially in delivering coal around Belfast. Now, you think that is a very, very hard job, hawking big bags of coal into people's houses and way upstairs and so on. And Sam and I, we talked about that. I never actually did it, but he would talk about that, and they did this. Now, the coal men in Belfast, they had a gospel mission, a very well-known gospel mission, and I myself was there a couple of times, well, more than a couple of times, for the preaching of the Word of God. And at that mission, Sam and Maudie, I believe, both came to know the Lord as their Savior, the greatest decision that they ever made. and they are rejoicing now in the decision that they made. Many years later, after I first saw the people, the McAnallys, that we took separate ways to Canada. I came one way, and they came to join Margaret and David, and they came over here, and I often thought it must have been very, very difficult for Sam to come here, because he was enmeshed in his horsing fraternity, and he loved it. And I'm so glad that they had the horse in the brochure today, because that we had wonderful stories of Sam in his horsing endeavors. And that was a love that he never lost right to the very end. And I had lots of chance to talk with him about these things. And although I'm not a horseman myself, I don't know how he was bothered listening to me talking to him, because we were different. And Sam and Maudie, when they came over here, they belonged to the Free Presbyterian Church back in Northern Ireland. So when they came here, it was natural that they would come and they would join us. And they did, and became members of our congregation. And they were faithful with us right on to the days of their deaths. And now both of them have left this scene of time, and we enjoyed wonderful fellowship with both of them throughout the years. Sam, as you've heard, was a kindly soul, and he had a great sense of humor. I used to like to talk to Sam, because Sam was never difficult to get to laugh. He always would see the funny side of things, and so I loved to talk to him. Now, he and I were members of the Romeo Club. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Don't get me wrong. That there was a woman in our church, and she gave us the name the Romeo Club. Really old men eating out. And we used to go out once a week, and we'd have breakfast together. And those were wonderful times of Christian fellowship. And in time, started off five of us. In time, it reduced down to just two. That was Sam and me. And he and two of them had moved house, and one of them had died. So there was just the two of us left, and we had wonderful times together. And you never need to ask what Sam was going to have in the breakfast place. Eggs over easy, and that was it. And I didn't like the way he had them so late, but he enjoyed them. And he never drank coffee. That always had to be tea. I always had my morning coffee, but he had tea, and we had some wonderful times together. And we sorted out the world's problems every Thursday morning. And we continued at the breakfast thing every Thursday morning, as long as his health was able to do it. And when it wasn't, he couldn't drive, I drove him along to a place. And we used to go and get our hair cut together. Today it's kind of difficult to get your hair cut, but in those days we went together to the same barber shop, and we got our hair cut after we had our breakfast. And so it was a wonderful time that we had with him. And I'd like to take this opportunity of extending our sympathy to Margaret and David. And I'm not going to name the rest, because I'd miss somebody out. So all the rest, we commend you to the Lord, and we trust that the Lord will bless you and strengthen you. Because the wonderful thing is that today, Maudie and Sam are gathered together. They're united again in heaven with the Lord. And every one of us here who knows the Lord, knows their Savior, we are going to meet them again someday. And it's going to be interesting in the resurrection morning because Sam is up where you put him, and Maudie too, and my wife and I, we are going there as well. And Larry, I think, is going. Half of our congregation are up in that place, and it's going to be quite a time in the resurrection morning, but we have a wonderful hope that at the end of life here on earth, and life is not easy right now, but a wonderful hope that we have that someday as believers we shall see the Lord and we will be with him forevermore.
Thank you, Sam and Dana, for sharing that today, and Dr. McClellan as well for the fitting tribute. I also was admiring the horse in the relief there and how special it is, a reminder of our brother Sam. On behalf of our session here in the church, our board, our congregation, all the family and friends that would love to be here today, we want to express to the family, to Margaret, to David, we know you folks so well, and again to all the children and grandchildren, the extended family members, our deep condolences, because as I mentioned before, it's already been thought about today and stated how the life of a simple man in many ways, a humble man, a practical man, he has touched the lives of so many people, and that has been very special. You know, when I look at this picture of Sam, it just, to me, it just captures the moment. It captures the whole man, the expression on his face, and and everything. It just talks about, shows the joy and the spirit and the character of the man. And it's very, very special. But let's face it. The passing of a loved one is very difficult. It's hard because there's a finality to it all. The memories that you have, and in the days that are following, you're going to go into a drawer, you're going to pull out a photograph, you're going to see an item that reminds you, the young children growing up, of how special Granda was, how special of a dad that he was. And you're going to see those things, and they're going to bring things back alive again. Well, it's not easy. We have to be realistic about that. Yet the Word of God says that we do not sorrow as them, those that have no hope, because the hope of the gospel is the hope of reunion again, the hope and joy that there is in all of these things. And I say to you today that it is at a time like this that the presence of Christ brings peace and comfort to a heart that is distressed and is reeling. And that's just what the Lord does. And I wonder today if we can say, as Job did, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have very fond memories of my dear brother. And you're talking all about the horse already, the horse adventures. I'm not a horseman. I'm a city boy. I'm not a farm boy. So one occasion, I forget even where it was, we were in a barn, Sam was there, and there was a horse, and he was doing something, and I happened to be along with him, and the horse, he was doing something on the back, the hoof of the horse, and the horse's ears went down, and he looked around, and he said, "Don't you do that," and he slapped the back of the horse. Immediately, he knew what the horse was doing and reacting. And to me, a big monstrous animal like that, what are you going to do with this animal? But he controlled it. The horse never did anything again. He was able to carry on doing what he was doing. And it was just impressed me greatly that he was not the least bit afraid, or anyone else would be fearful in a situation like that. He was such an example of a rubber meets the road type of man. And what you saw was what you get. Jonathan already mentioned that, and I thought it was very appropriate. And the ulsterisms that came out from Sam were just so fitting. And to me as a Canadian, these things captured life and the reality of life. And that was right before you. One time we were downstairs, and it was just because he was a caretaker in the church for many years. And so every morning he would be here, and the school would be going on down in the basement, and he'd be vacuuming and here early. And so there was oftentimes food in the kitchen down there for the staff members and so on. And I came by, it was about lunch, coffee break, and I said, I don't know if I'm going to get anything to eat or not. I don't know if I'm hungry or not. I thought, oh, I think I'll take something anyway. He says, well, you're probably just afraid that you're going to be hungry later on, and so you're going to take what you need now. But it was just little comments like that. Going by the wayside, it was just, they were very special and very precious, and I remember them. The man of simple faith, but the faith was not simplistic. Big difference. The simple nature of his faith was that he believed in the Word of God, he believed in the Lord, and the Lord was his God, and the Lord was his Savior. And I am so appreciative because Sam was such an encourager to me in the ministry here. Such an encourager as he stayed by the stuff in the congregation, in the church. He was such an encourager that, you know, whenever there are times where it may be hard and maybe not hard for the pastor, but he was always there, and Madi very much the same way, encouraging along the way and very supportive of the work of God. Not that one church per se was different or better than another, but this was the place where God had placed Sam. And this was the place there where he felt his service could be given to the Lord, and therefore he was very committed to that. Because of all the craziness of COVID, and the inability to be and visit and see people and can't have any more than 10 people in the church service and so on. Well, it's been a long time since I was able to see him. Months, as a matter of fact. And yet, as it was coming down near the end, his sickness was becoming more difficult. The Lord really, Jill suggested to me, you know, really, you bet you're going to need to go and see Sam if you can. And I'm very thankful that she suggested that, my wife. And so I called David and Lorraine and said, look, I know sometimes a bit difficult to come to people's homes. Would I be able to come? They said, yes, definitely come. That was last Monday. And he looked very rough even at that time. He was very weak. But there was still a smile on his face when I saw him. He knew me, and I'm thankful for that. We had a short time of fellowship. I read the scriptures. We prayed. But he was very weak, and I just felt, Lord, it's not going to be long now. And indeed, it wasn't long. 6 days later, he was taken. Last Sunday morning is when it was, a week ago, Sunday. And I was thankful later on to be able to talk and phone, spoke to all the children who were there, the grandchildren. And Sarah actually said, you know, one verse of scripture that has really helped me through this, it's been an anchor to me through it. And she quoted the scripture, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's found in Hebrews 13, verse 8. And I wanted to share some thoughts on that verse. The Lord really just fastened that to my mind right away. But that was the verse that I want to share today with you. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We all know, friends, that we're in a very changing world, ever-changing world. The impact of COVID is but one example for us globally. But think of nations and empires. They come and they go. Political parties and leaders, they will come and they go. We're here today. And we are gone tomorrow. Philosophies and philosophers, they're here and they're gone. They fizzle out. And the reason we are here today in this memorial service is the evidence of the changes of life. Because youth and beauty, they are passing away from us all. I have a little mark on my hand there. And my wife says to me, do you know what that is? She said, that's an aging mark. I said, thank you very much, dear. I appreciate that. It's nice to be reminded of that. Yes, we're all growing older and we're all going down the road. And the scripture says this. It says, our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time. And then it vanishes away. Let that truth sink into our heart in the changing nature of life. Doesn't it make people ask the question, why are we here? What is the purpose of life? Is there an existence beyond this earth after? Is there a life after death? Those questions are real. Those questions, even more so during COVID, have been brought home to folks because there's a lot of uneasiness and uncertainty about life itself. They're searching questions. They're real. But I declare to you today that the answer to this life is found only in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the answer, my friends, today. You're listening online. I say to you with all my heart, He is the answer to the need and the changing scenes of human life. The Savior, He is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the Son of God who has come to this world. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the is the one who has come to be the Savior of sinners. His name is Emmanuel. The meaning is God with us. God has come down to earth to be with us. Yes, we all change, don't we? Our feelings change, our circumstances change, our desires change, our goals, health, appearance. So many things are in the flow of change. But thank God today, there is one who never changes. And I want to share some things about him today because it's the hope that we have. It's the hope that is real and living. He is the same today to comfort the grieving heart. He is the God of all comfort. He is the same to comfort us. And our Lord Jesus Christ stood at graves, the grave of Lazarus in his time. And he stood there when Lazarus had been dead for 4 days and Mary and Martha were grieving the loss of their brother, a loved one. And Christ stood there and he wept at that grave because he sensed the love that they had for their brother, but the love that he had for them. And as the Savior stood there and commanded, "Lazarus, come forth," he rose from the dead. That miracle of resurrection that he did that day was only a type or a picture of the great resurrection that will be happening when Christ comes back to this world again. But he has stood at many an open grave, for the Savior was there today with us at that little cemetery. He stood where two or three of his people are gathered in his name. He is one with a number. He stands today, friend, beside you in the time of your grief, in the time of your support to the family you've come today. Do you recognize him standing near you? He is there. He is here. The hymn writer wrote, "Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still he loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and the lame, cheer the mourner, calm the tempest. Glory to his name." And the chorus follows, "Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name." He is the same today to comfort your heart, my friend, and that's what he is willing and ready to do. The question is, will you let him in to your life and your heart to give you that comfort? The invitation is there today. But our Savior is the same as he always has been in his control of all things. Because our Christ is the sovereign Lord and Master and ruler. He is referred to and called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in his divine purpose, the Creator of all things. Now, this may seem strange when we look at a world today that is reeling back and forth, to and fro. There seems to be no order. Every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes, and everything seems to be chaotic. And you might wonder, well, how could Christ be ruling and reigning today as the King? But I assure you, my friend, God is not in heaven wringing his hands in despair, wondering, what am I going to do next? The Christ is the ruler of all, the Master and the King. And he is the one who is directing and will direct until the final day when he returns back to this world again. Christ is coming back. He is in control. And even when you look at injustices and you look at things that are a world full of warfare and satanic forces that are so active, yet our Lord is the one who has his hand on all things. And he will complete and finish that which his sovereign purpose is intending. Don't think for a moment, friend, that people can live outside of the the watchful eye and the oversight of our great God. He sees all things. He knows what's going on in men's minds. He knows what's going on in your heart right now. He knows our thoughts afar off, the psalmist said. And therefore I say to you today, trust in Him. Place your trust in the King and let Him rule your life. Because the Lord tells us that we are to cast all our care upon Him and to lean upon the Lord with all our understanding, all our life, all our mind. Because when we place all upon Him who is in control, then we are submitting the control unto Him. Let us trust in the Lord, the God who is the same to comfort the heart. He is the same one who is ruling and controlling all. And I close with this today. He is the same Savior to save souls now. He is the same Savior to convert, because Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. This is the only hope for people. Look, you're not going to find hope in politicians. You're not going to find hope in the stock market. You're not going to find hope in the religions of this world. There is only one place that you will find hope, and that is hope that is in the unchanging Christ of God. Friend, I say to you today, be sure that you place your hope in Him, because Christ is the only foundation that you can build your life for time and eternity on. If you build on something else or someone else, you're going to be very disappointed. Jesus came to earth to die on Calvary's cross and shed His blood, and in the shedding of His blood to make atonement for our sins. And I thank God for the day that Christ saved me. I'm just a sinful man, but He saved me from my sin. And Sam, who we're here thinking about in this memorial, he was a sinful man, and God reached down and saved him as a boy of 12, 13 years of age. And God has kept Sam all through his whole years. Not a perfect man, we know that, but a man who is justified in the eyes of God because of what Jesus did for him. I wonder, do you know the Savior today? Do you possess this real hope in your heart? Our brother today is absent from his body. He is present with his Lord according to the Scriptures. And this is the testimony that he has. And I will tell you something. It's the testimony that Sam wants me as a pastor to share with all of you today, because it's his Lord and his Savior we're talking about. And may God write upon our hearts today this truth: Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. And He is coming back, friend. And I hope you're ready to meet the Lord when He comes. We're going to close our service by singing the final hymn that's on our sheet. Great is Thy faithfulness. Let's stand, please, to worship.
Thank you.
Father, as we bring this memorial service to a close today, it is with great thanksgiving for your loving kindness and mercy, and for the truth that Christ is alive today. He lives in the power of an endless life. And we know that our blessed Savior will never, ever change. Lord, I'm asking that we would go each one in the joy and strength of this truth, that your great grace will be poured out upon everyone. Bless not only those here in the church. I'm praying, Lord, for your mighty blessing upon everyone viewing the service online. Father, may we have cause this day for double rejoicing, thanksgiving for the life of our dear brother, and thanksgiving for the work of grace and salvation done in hearts. Hear our prayer. Bless each one of us. Part us now, Lord, in your fear, with your rich and mighty blessing, helping us to know that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink and food, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We ask all of these things in Christ's precious name.
Yeah. Jesus.